Waiting. Don't you love that word? Just the word wait, you know, kind of drives you crazy. You're going out on the interstate, you know, like 70 miles per hour. You're in the fast lane and you're trucking along, and there's a car in that fast lane going 50. Okay, and you got traffic zipping around you, and you're like, ah. And you can't pass them because of the traffic, and you're just stuck there and like, what are they thinking? Come on, you gotta get going. Waiting can drive you completely crazy. And whenever I go through Fairburn, Georgia, 90% of the time I hit the train. I'm just sitting right there like, oh, what is going on with the train? And there's cars just like me lined up, and I'm like, how does this happen? There must be trains there all the time. But you get stuck if you want to go somewhere and you're waiting and you got to wait on a train. It can drive you crazy. But one of the worst is waiting on the phone, right? And has anybody tried to call a government agency lately, like in the last year and a half? I mean, it's not pretty, is it? I mean, and you know you're in trouble when the message is, press 1 if you would like to hear music while you wait. Press 2 if you don't want music. I'm like, oh no. So you could just, then you put it on speaker, right? And you're just sitting there doing stuff all around the house, and I guess I still hear the music. Okay, it's still going. And the pandemic, you know, businesses have taken advantage of the pandemic. They really have. They're not going to convince me otherwise, because they have taught us to wait now. They have taught us, and they've trained us very well. We are now trained when we go to the grocery store to scan our own food. So you go through, and then you wait to scan your own food. You remember back in the good old days, you paid extra to go to the grocery so somebody else would scan it, right? But no, not anymore. Especially in Walmart, they're getting rid of the cashiers. And I feel bad for the cashiers, although the cashiers can drive you crazy too. Yeah, they make you wait. Just this week, I was in Walmart, and I went to the shortest lane, right? The shortest one. I'm like, I'm going to get out of here. No problem. But and the lady, the girl was there. And then she kept handing the cashier things, and I found out she was paying for 4 separate people. And so this was 1, and she did all them. This was number 2. And then about the time I thought she was done, she said, oh, the cashier said, you have 88 cents left. 88 cents? Oh, okay, we got to. And then she said, do you want these onions? Oh, yeah, I definitely want the onions. I knew I was in trouble. It was a wait. Waiting can drive you crazy. It really can. And in fact, the word wait in many people's vocabulary is equivalent to a cuss word. Okay. And so when you preach a sermon on waiting, people are not going to be excited. Okay. It's not an exciting topic to think about. But today I want you to think about the fact that when you wait on the Lord, it can be a joyful experience. It can be joyful. It really can. And I know it's a little hard to imagine. Now, I'm still drawing ideas from Dutch Sheets' book, The Pleasure of His Company. And last week we looked at how Martha had a hard time waiting. But Mary was a good listener, and she waited on the Lord. But you know, it takes time to learn to wait. It takes time to learn not to be restless. And the reason it takes time is because we live in a fast-paced world, right? We're used to just getting food like that. We go to a fast food restaurant and we go through the drive-thru, which we used to be able to get through the drive-thru pretty quick. We're still waiting. But we're used to it. We're used to microwave meals. We're used to things being cooked fast. And so the church has got in on it. So we don't want to wait in church. So we got a 30-minute sermon. It can only be 30 minutes. It's got to be fast. It's got to be relevant. Quick points of application. No dead time. Everything goes fast. And so we make this assumption that in the spiritual world, everything's supposed to move fast too. So like if we say a quick prayer, we expect a quick answer. That's like that. And we want a quick sermon. And we want it fast. And so we expect when we pray something to the Lord that He's just going to be, bam, He's going to answer us right now. But it doesn't work that way in the spiritual world. Following the Lord involves waiting, but that's not a bad thing. Following the Lord involves downtime. The Scripture just treats waiting like it's an ordinary thing that we should grow accustomed to. We have an example of this from the life of Joshua. Now, most people know that Moses went up into the mountain to get the Ten Commandments and the other precepts and laws. But I had forgotten that Joshua went up in the mountain with him. So turn with me here to Exodus 24, verses 12 through 18. The Lord said to Moses, "Come to me on the mountain and stay there, and I will give you tablets of stone with the law and the commandments I have written for their instruction." Then Moses set out with Joshua, his aide, and Moses went up on the mountain of God. He said to the elders, "Wait for us until we come back to you. Aaron and Hur are with you, and anyone involved in a dispute can go with them." When Moses went up to the mountain and the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai. For 6 days the cloud covered the mountain, and on the seventh day the Lord called Moses from within the cloud. To the Israelites, the glory of the Lord looked like a consuming fire on top of the mountain. Then Moses entered the cloud as he went up on the mountain, and he stayed on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. So Moses and Joshua go up on the mountain. So what do? When they get up there, they wait for 6 days. What did they do for 6 days? They sat there and looked at a cloud with thunder and lightning flowing in it. So Moses was then called into the cloud, and this is the part I mentioned, left Joshua alone. Joshua was not invited into the cloud. And so Joshua then had to wait for 34 days while Moses was in the cloud. So what exactly did he do during that time? The cloud is described as a consuming fire. This was God's presence. And I like this rendition here. You know, the Israelites would look up in the mountain, and that's what they saw. You know, all this lightning and thunder up in the cloud. Joshua stayed up on the mountain outside the cloud for all those days. So what was he doing? Was he watching the thunder? Was he hearing voices? Did he hear Moses talking to God? We don't really know what he did, but he was up there waiting a long time. What did Joshua think when Moses came out and his face was glowing? We don't know. But we know he had to wait. We don't know exactly what happened and everything, but when they came down from the mountain in Exodus 33, Moses erects a tent called the Tabernacle of Moses. This is where they kept the Ark of the Covenant. Verse 7 says, "The people who sought the Lord would go to this tent outside the camp, and the people were amazed and they were captivated by this cloud," God's presence, "that would be at the entrance of the tent, and they would worship God." But the amazing thing that I saw is in Exodus 33. Look at Exodus 33 and verse 11. "The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. Then Moses would return to the camp, but his young aide Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent." Joshua didn't want to leave the tent. He wanted to be in that tent with God's presence. Did you notice it said Moses talked to him like a friend? And when Moses would go to leave, Joshua stayed. He didn't want to leave. Did he ask for permission? "Hey, Moses, would you mind if I kind of stayed in the tent tonight? Can I stay in here? I like God's presence." They were addicted to God's presence. They loved being in His presence. And when we patiently enjoy God's presence, it's a great blessing. But that patience doesn't happen overnight. We have to learn to wait. So let me ask you a couple questions today. We're going to just answer these as we go. The first question, what is waiting on God? So let me give you four kinds of waiting that we need to learn to be accustomed to. The first kind of waiting is waiting with a quiet trust. Now we're going to be jumping around in our scriptures today. If you look over here in Psalm 62, and I'm going to look at verses 1 and 2. And just notice as I read these scriptures, the word rest or wait. "Truly my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from Him. Truly He is my rock and my salvation. He's my fortress. I will never be shaken. The first kind of waiting means silently waiting with a calm trust. I do this a lot. I've done this a lot in my life. You're just waiting. You're just quietly trusting God. You know He's going to work it out. I've experienced this when things are not going well. When I'm facing some kind of storm in my life, I just know God is at work and He's going to work it out. And I'm just patiently letting Him take care of it. Second kind of waiting is clinging to the Lord. Psalm 33:20 says, "Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and shield." The word clinging here means adhering to. So as I was studying this word, I remembered one of my least favorite commercials. Did you have a commercial that drives you crazy? This commercial drives me crazy, so now I got to hear about it on Sunday, right? Flex tape. Do you remember this commercial? And this is the waterproof tape. And my favorite part, there's one thing I like about the commercial, is when they tape the boat together with the flex tape, right? And then they picture them out in the water. How many of you would tape a boat up and go out if it was held by flex tape? I'm certainly not going to risk my life to flex tape. But anyway, it does have a good meaning for the word. That's a good meaning for waiting. It's adhering to. It means holding on to the Lord. Especially when there's trouble, knowing that you're going to be all right. The same word is used in Psalm 42:2 that says, "My soul thirsts for God." It's a longing for God. This is the kind of waiting you just hold tightly to the Lord. Know that, have you ever had such a difficult thing going in your life? You just cling to the Lord. You just hang on to Him because things are not going good. Maybe you're a little bit scared. Now the third kind of waiting is to wait with eager expectation. Psalm 27:14. "Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage." This word for wait is a little bit different. It combines the element of excitement in the faith. It's not just waiting. It's an excitement knowing that God is going to work. He's going to work it out. It's expecting Him to act. You see, waiting on the Lord isn't bad. It can be very positive. The fourth kind of waiting means joining our hearts with God, becoming one with Him. The word literally means to bind together by twisting. And I think that's a good description about what happens when we start trusting the Lord. We're bound to Him. Waiting changes a person. It's like we're braided together like strands of rope. When we wait on the Lord, we are bound together with Him. And one of my all-time favorite scriptures, this is like the top of the list, is out of Isaiah 40 and verse 31. Those who wait, here's the translation says hope, but often in many translations it says wait. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. As we wait patiently on the Lord, He gives you strength. He helps you. We become closer to Him. I love the old story of the mouse and the elephant. The mouse and the elephant were best friends. They went everywhere together. The mouse rode on top of the elephant. And one day, they walked across a bridge. And they got that bridge, and it started creaking and shaking. And then they got off, and the mouse was so proud. He said, "Boy, we really shook that bridge up." Now, who was the one that did the shaking on that bridge? Who's the one that caused it? It wasn't the mouse. We're represented by the mouse. God takes care of us. He gives us the strength. We don't often have the strength. Waiting on the Lord binds us together with Him. So this brings us to our second question. How do we joyfully wait on the Lord? We want to enjoy the pleasure of His company. So what do we do? Do we stare ahead in some kind of trance state? No, we're not Buddhist. We don't have to do it that way. Waiting on the Lord simply means thinking, reflecting on God, talking to Him, thinking about a passage of Scripture. Waiting can be done sitting. It can be done kneeling. It can be done Walking, it can be done. Driving, I do this while I drive. It isn't the position of the body. What matters is the position of the heart. It's not real complicated. It's just a quiet time with the Lord. So let me give you a few ideas that have worked for me on how to wait on the Lord. One idea is to find a quality time routine. So when did Jesus set a time aside to pray? So listen to Mark chapter 1 and look at verse 35. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up and left the house and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. This was Jesus' routine. This was his habit. The disciples would wake up and then they would go find Jesus. And he was somewhere praying. He had his alone time. This was his quality time. And he did it when everybody was asleep. He did it when the crowds were asleep. He did it when the disciples were asleep. And then he would be busy all day ministering to people. Remember when he met the woman at the well? The Bible says Jesus was sitting by the well and he was tired from the journey. That's because he stayed up late hours praying. So the key is not a specific time of day, because you know you do have people like Cody here and his wife. I asked him one time, I said, "So who's the morning person in your family?" He said, "We don't have a morning person." So maybe that's how it works in some families. The idea is it doesn't have to be a morning time. You just find that time when you can be alone. Find that quality time, the best time. I like Dutch Sheets' idea on this. This is what he says. He says, sit down with a cup of coffee and talk to the Lord. It doesn't have to last for hours. The key is quality alone time. It can last 15 minutes. 15 minutes of talking to the Lord. It can be very powerful, especially if you do it regularly. Whether it's 30 minutes, whether it's an hour, or shorter or longer, we just have to train ourselves to wait on Him. I've had wonderful times of waiting on the Lord. When I've been away from social media, and for hours, I've driven for hours, literally hours, just thinking about a scripture, praying, singing a song to Him, and letting God just work on my mind. Now, second idea, find a good place. Look at Luke chapter 22. Luke 22, and I'm going to look at verses 39 through 41. Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down, and prayed. Did you catch the first part of the verse? It says he went out as usual. Another translation says, as was his custom. This location was the Garden of Gethsemane on the Mount of Olives. Many scholars believe this was Jesus' regular place of prayer while in Jerusalem. This is probably how Judas knew to find him, because they went there so often, and this is where he prayed. Jesus is going to face his greatest trial, the cross, and so where does he go? He goes to his regular place of prayer. Do you have places that you love to talk to the Lord? When I travel, I have some places I like to go. I've got a place, and it's a trail, and it's well taken care of. They do a wonderful job taking care of the flowers and the yard. It's just a beautiful, it's a wooded area. There's a pond, and I just like to go there, and I like to walk. I got about an hour. I'll just spend just an hour walking. I'll listen to the Lord. I'll let Him talk to me. I'll talk to Him. Just a quiet hour. And I very seldom do I ever run into anybody on that trail. I've got a place beside a mountain creek that I like to go to. The water's rushing. I like to just go there for about an hour when I can break away. And I'll just sit there and I will just take it all in for an hour. And I'll talk to the Lord. Sometimes I just sit in quiet, just silence, and I'll just let the Lord speak to me. These are some places that I like to go. I have a place in my house that I go to pray. I just sit there. It's a comfortable place. And I can sit there and I can talk to Him. I usually have a cup of coffee, by the way. I'm like Joe on this. And so it keeps me awake, and I got a good time when I can talk to the Lord. So find a good place to talk to the Lord. And do it joyfully. It's real easy to do it joyfully if you've got the right place. Third idea is come with an attitude of expectation. Coming to the Lord with the right attitude sets the table for everything in your prayer. So find a good translation of the Bible that you enjoy, that you like to read. Some people like to do a journal. They sit down and they write their thoughts down in a journal. Maybe a devotional book. I find that music helps. Play some songs. Play some of your favorite gospel songs, something that helps you. And that changes every so often, but I'll listen to songs. And they help. Those things help create the right atmosphere. And then I come to the Lord with this patient expectation that He's going to hear me and that He's going to direct me. Jesus said in Mark chapter 11, verse 24, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe you have received it. So I know and I believe, I have no doubts, that when I pray to the Lord, that He hears me. I expect Him to, because He's my Heavenly Father. I don't try to rush God. I don't say, now God, you've got to work this out soon. Lord, right now. I don't try to make deals with God. I don't try to bargain with Him. I don't try to manipulate Him. Now, Lord, if you do this, I'll do this. I don't do anything like that. I just come to Him with a simple trust, knowing that when I pray to Him, He'll hear me and He's going to work it out. Whatever the problem, whatever the worry, whatever I'm not sure about. Now, sometimes I will come to Him with my own ideas. Don't get me wrong. I'll say, Lord, now this is what I'm thinking. This is what I've been praying about, Lord. This is what I want. This is my will. You tell me what your will is. Don't be afraid to say what you want too, but be willing to just accept whatever the Lord has. Here's a simple truth. That if you find a good place and you find a good way to pray to the Lord on a regular basis, it will change your life. There's a scripture just in the last couple years that has really been ingrained in my mind. In fact, I ended up committing it to memory. This verse has been so powerful and it's really helped me in my prayer time. Show me, and I'm going to read it from the King James, which is what I like best. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth. Teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation, and on thee I wait all the day. Now sometimes I have prayed for the same thing for days on end. I've prayed for the same thing for weeks. I've prayed for the same thing for years. And God has always answered me. But I have to wait. But that's okay. That's all right. I'm with the Lord. I'm talking to Him. It's not a bad thing. There's joy in being in His presence. And when I'm done praying, I feel a sense of being renewed and strengthened. You can say I'm all prayed up. It's a good way to put it. That's how I feel after I pray. It takes discipline, finding and developing a quality time routine and having the right mindset. But you have to manage those distractions. So I grew up in a house of rowdy boys. How many of you know what I'm talking about when I say a house of rowdy boys? Anybody know what that is? Okay, so that means we were running everywhere. We were running in and out. We were supposed to be quiet. We got the room, we were making distractions, you know, and we were just going all the time, you know, and then we would wander into the kitchen, try to find snacks, which we didn't have too many snacks around. They were all nutritious, you know. Nothing worse than looking for a snack and getting an apple. You know, we wanted some real food, you know, but Mom always made sure we had some snacks. But anyway, there was a certain time of the day that we knew we were not supposed to interrupt Mom. That was during her quiet time. She had a quiet time. And so she would have her Bible out and a cup of coffee, I've learned well, maybe a devotional, and she would have her quiet time. And we were not supposed to bother her during this time. We're a house of rowdy boys, again. So you would, we would often, this would often happen. We would come running in, and she'd be right there. I tried to find her expression. Exactly. But I couldn't quite capture the mother's expression, but it was this expression like, you know. And so then we just kind of like walked back out, and didn't bother her for her, whatever it was, an hour, 30 minutes, however, we don't know how long it was, but we just knew if she was in that, you didn't do that. And that's how she did, that's how she guarded her time. She needed time. I wonder why. She needed time with the Lord. She needed time to pray. And she had to guard it against us. And we eventually got what we needed. But when it was her time, we weren't allowed to mess with her. So a time alone with the Lord is something so special, because you'll be enjoying His company. It's a godly habit. It will bless your day. It will set your day in the right direction. But you have to have taken the effort for it to happen. It can transform your life. If everybody here prayed for the church, it would transform the church every day. If everybody here prayed for their families, it would change their family. It really does work. It changes our lives in ways that we cannot imagine. I got up early one morning and rushed right into the day. I had so much to accomplish that I didn't have time to pray. Problems tumbled around me. Heavier came each task. Why doesn't God help me? I wondered. He answered, "You didn't ask." I wanted to see joy and beauty, but the day toiled on, gray and bleak. I wondered why God didn't show me. He said, "You didn't seek." I tried to come into God's presence. I used all my keys in the lock. God gently chided, "My child, you didn't knock." I woke up early in the morning. I paused before I entered the day. I had so much to accomplish that I had to take time to pray. If you take time to pray, it can make a difference. So my goal, my personal goal, is that every single person in here will take time alone with the Lord every day. Inevitably, I've talked to a Christian that struggled, going through difficult times. They tell me everything that's happened, and I will ask, "Have you been praying to the Lord?" And more often than not, they'll say, "Oh, well, no, and I really haven't really been praying about this." And I'll try to say something like, "Well, hey, you know, now listen, if you'll just pray, if you'll take time, well, yeah, I mean, I know what you're saying, but can you fix the problem? What should I do? You see, there's a spiritual problem there. The spiritual problem is not praying. It really does make a difference. If you connect to the Lord, it can make all the difference in the world. Sometimes we pray, and maybe this has happened to you, and you don't get what you've asked for, and you find yourself disappointed, and you find yourself upset. But don't give up praying, because God's going to answer, and God's going to take care of you. Sometimes you got to pray a long time for things. You know, I pray for some people in my life that need to accept the Lord. They need to make a decision. I pray for them by name. Still hasn't happened, but I'm going to keep praying. I pray for some people that need to give up a sin. They're on the wrong way. They're on the wrong path. And they need to repent. And I pray that they will repent. It doesn't happen right away. But sometimes surprises happen. But we need to pray. We need to pray. But we have to trust God's timing. So maybe in your life, you've been rushing ahead of God, trying to do everything. You got to go on His timing. You got to let Him take care of it. You know, prayer doesn't really work if you never accepted Him. You have to make Him your Lord. You have to make Him your Savior. That means believing in Him. That means giving up a sin, giving up your sin. You know, it means confessing Him. It means just being obedient to Him in baptism. And when we do that, we connect with Him. And He promises He'll always hear us. But we have to trust His timing. So we're going to have our song of invitation in His time. In His time. And boy, this is a little chorus, but let me tell you, if we could live this, it would be so much easier, wouldn't it? So let's all stand here. as we have our song.